everyone. I'm Dr. Christy Pretty Franzek, and I recently facilitated a webinar for the Military Families Learning Network, and it was called Beyond the Shape Sorter: Playful Interactions That Promote Strong Academic and Social Emotional Skills. You can access a recording and all the resources associated with the webinar at learn.extension.org/events/2943. That's learn.extension.org/events/2943. And the overall objective, or what we were really hoping to do, was really talk about the importance of early object exploration and how this promotes early development and learning. We also wanted to make sure that people understood how children move from very early exploration of objects through their senses to more complex things that are simple motor actions and functional use of objects, and eventually into cooperative play. Lastly, we wanted to talk about what happens or what causes a child to get stuck as they kind of move through that progression of exploration of objects, as well as their ability to interact with others, and how do we really scaffold that for learning. So again, if you want to learn more or view the recording or download the resources for Beyond the Shape Sorter, go to learn.extension.org/events/2943. But in this brief audio recording, I wanted to attempt to answer a question that came up during the live event, and then I wanted to share a few takeaways, mine and those from people who attended. So there was a question about a little guy. I'm guessing it was a guy. It could have been a girl. I had so many more questions after we stopped the webinar that I wish I could have followed up with, but the gist was there was this child, and that the family and the team really understood that the child was seeking some sort of feedback or input. You know, we talk about how when we look at things, it gives us feedback, right? Visually, we know how far away it is, or what color it is, or what texture it might feel like to our hands just through our viewing of the object. So we're getting that feedback through our senses. And they said this little kid, you know, was really getting feedback from licking their cleaning wipes. And the team was trying all sorts of things to how to redirect the child who was licking their cleaning wipes. They tried scented chewies, but then the scent wasn't strong enough. And so they were trying to walk this balance, as sort of me filling in some of the gaps, between a child's need for feedback and that they're getting it through their senses, and the team wanting to sort of get through diapering and making sure the child stays safe and healthy in terms of what they are putting into their mouth in order to get that feedback. So definitely, and depending on the age of this child, we would get more and more concerned, right? The younger the child, we know that they're going to really rely on those sensory explorations. But if the child is getting older, we want to see that they start getting feedback beyond just their senses, and particularly beyond their mouthing. So there's clearly a need. And so what they've already started to do could probably be expanded a little bit more in terms of getting different cleaning wipes or using a washcloth. But again, this may not be enough to address the underlying need that's stemming from the child. So I'm not an occupational therapist or a speech therapist or someone that has expertise in oral motor needs. So definitely talking to someone on the team, even if they're not formally on the team, reaching out to a listserv or sending an email to an OT or an SLP in the district or in the agency can go a long ways. There's lots of opinions, I'm sure, about how to address sort of this oral motor stimulation, as well as a child who's sort of like not satiating. But it's good to get that input from people and talk about it. And I would always add to that, you know, add your own shark music, meaning what makes you worried about this situation. Sometimes it's not really a worry. It's our own thing. Like, we think people might think we're a bad parent, or we think that there's something dangerous for the child, when in fact, it's really fine. So kind of becoming self-aware of your own shark music and talking to others can kind of go a long ways in uncovering what it is you really are trying to solve before you try to go and buy, you know, 852 different kind of cleaning wipes. You might also consider, and again, an OT or SLP can guide you more here, in terms of when they mouth or lick, when children do that a lot, how can we give them opportunities to do it in a more scheduled way to sort of satiate, if you will, that impulse, and so that they can know places and things that are okay to mouth and things that we would rather they not. So if there are things like the chewies or the different mouthing things that can be put into a box, or there are time set aside that it really allows the child to quote unquote go there, that might help a little bit as well. But really, you know, there might be a middle ground or a scaffolding that what we want is the child to begin to explore objects with their hands and visually, and to do things that are cause and effect and simple motor actions. So is there a both and in this situation? So is there a way to make the child, you know, sort of really get excited about things in their environment and begin to explore those, but maybe even at the same time have a chewy in the mouth? So it's not an either or, but it's a both and. So for whatever it's worth, hopefully that answers one of the participants, a group of participants' questions about when children get kind of stuck or they are getting feedback, but we want them to do it in other ways that are moving along that progression. So also, as I said just a few minutes ago, this was supposed to be a brief audio recording. I wanted to share that kind of response about what a team could do, but also what our takeaways were. So this webinar, I told you what we hoped to get out of it, but so what did we get out of it? And there was this one amazing phrase that almost all of us walked away with, and it was shared by another participant, and the phrase was, wait, watch, and wonder. And we just all fell in love with that phrase, that if we got, you know, even in this situation with the child licking the wipes, what if we just wait and we watched and we wondered before we tried to step in, fix, redirect, you know, all this stuff. So that was for me a takeaway, and I know for many other participants. Others said that it's on that same theme. They really wanted to watch and observe how children are currently playing before they try to get their interest shifted or moved or expanded, so that really understand what the child likes to do, what they like to play with, how they play with things, what they're interested in, and then we can enter into the activity with them. Then we can think about expanding. Other people said really making time to listen to the child, and sometimes that's not just listening for their words, because children can be young and nonverbal or have a disability and be nonverbal, but listening is back to that watching as well, noticing, if you will, really being attuned with what's going on for them. When have they had too much? When do they need more stimulation? When is it just overwhelming and they're starting to shut down? So that's what we mean by taking time to really listen. And then that dove right into this being sensitive to those nonverbal cues, that if a child turns away or looks away or even escalates, right, gets more manic. I know I have a way of kind of like getting kids all revved up, but I need to be sensitive that those cues are telling me I'm reaching a threshold. I'm going to the point of no return. And so we need to really pay attention to those and sit back and observe what the child's doing. And the phrase that people really liked was be a guide on the side. And then our very last takeaway was that learning isn't always vertical, but sometimes it's horizontal, meaning sometimes we stay here and we strengthen. Sometimes we stay right where we are and we do it in more places. Sometimes we stay right where we are and we do it with a little bit more finesse or fluidity or independence. It's not always about stepping forward and taking another big step towards development and learning, but really going sideways and strengthening. And the only way that we can really know where a child is going forward, needing to go sideways, is to wait, watch, and wonder.